16, 17 years ago, and 72, 73 years old, congestive heart failure. For all intents and purposes, any reasonable person would have said that's foolish, but he was called of God and stepped out by faith, and I thank God for that. And many, many others that I've known that have been in that situation. Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to finish up our series tonight on knowing God through the Holy Spirit. And I want to preach tonight, how can I be filled with the Holy Spirit? How can I be filled with the Holy Spirit? We all want to know more about the Holy Spirit. If you go and you look at our sermons on sermon audio, the most popular sermons are one of two. It's either marriage, husbands and wives, or it's teaching on the Holy Spirit. So people have a hunger to know about the Holy Spirit, how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. A large number of questions exist about the Holy Spirit. People ask, well, who is the Holy Spirit? We know He's real because the Bible says so. We know that He's at work in this world today. We know that He indwells every believer. We know that He alone can give us the power we need. But we would like to know, how can we have that power for daily living? How much do you know about the Holy Spirit? Keep your finger there in Ephesians chapter 5 and let us go to Acts chapter 19. There's a question asked here by some early New Testament Christians that I think is a question we find ourselves asking or maybe even saying. They've asked, or rather the question was asked of them, and they made a statement, which was said, He said unto them, Paul, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? They said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Whether there be any Holy Ghost. I love their honesty. We don't know. What Holy Ghost? What are you talking about, Paul? Sadly, many contemporary Christians would probably respond the same way. We know about the Trinity, even though we can't explain it. I think many of us would be challenged to pass some sort of final or test if we were asked about the work of the Holy Spirit. And so I'd ask you tonight, what kind of grade would you give yourself in your knowledge of the Holy Spirit and that part of the Trinity? Many people certainly know the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We understand the characteristics and attributes of God the Father, but how many really understand the work of the Holy Spirit? The most important question, and we've spent a few weeks ago, or maybe a couple months ago rather, we spent some time studying the Holy Spirit. Hopefully that was a help to you as we went through the blue books, the discipleship books. But the most important question that I'd like to ask tonight is, how can I be filled, or strive to answer rather, how can I be filled with the Holy Spirit? So back in Ephesians chapter 5, in verse number 18, this to me is one of the most important principles of the spiritual life. If you'll learn this, you will discover a source of power that will help you, supernatural power that will help you every single day. And so the great need, indeed the need of this hour, is that God's people would discover what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So some immediate questions rise. Well, what is the filling of the Spirit? What difference does it make? How does it happen? Really, the question that rises above all others is, am I filled with the Holy Spirit? How do I know? What is your answer? If you were to be asked that, suppose someone said, are you filled with the Spirit? What would you say? Many preachers have, I've read a couple pastors that have basically at the end of their ministry come back and realize they wish they had spent more time and given more attention to the person and work of the Holy Spirit. I find that to be true with prayer. You know, not enough focus on prayer. You know, we get busy about the work of ministry and then we lose sight of prayer. I think the same is true for the Holy Spirit. Charles Spurgeon said, "The grand thing the church wants in this time is God's Holy Spirit." So more than anything else, we need to rediscover the Holy Spirit, learn anew to depend on Him. Let's look, if you would, Ephesians 5, verse 18, where he says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Let's pray. Father, bless now this message. I pray that it would be a help, a practical help to each person here today, that we would come away understanding what it means to be filled with the Spirit of God, and that it would be true, that it would be part and parcel of our daily Christian living, our Christian walk. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us the promise of your Holy Spirit, that we don't walk alone, that we don't have to wander this earth without guidance, without your help, without your power. I pray that we've learned to appropriate it, that we would learn to have it, that we would see the Holy Spirit work through us in a mighty way. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated, or you're already seated. All right. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I want to give just a few observations from the text, and then we'll get into some practical thoughts about being filled with the Spirit of God. Number one, notice what Paul does in contrasting between wine and the Holy Spirit. To me, this is the most basic point of the verse. Here we have what? A direct parallel being drawn between being drunk with wine and being filled with the Holy Spirit. So what is the comparison? The comparison is this. It is that issue of influence or control. Influence or control. If you're under the influence of some sort of alcoholic beverage, it will alter your behavior. We've all met people like that, right? They get drunk. They say things they normally wouldn't say. They act in ways they generally wouldn't act, right? They are under the influence. We see maybe emotions are changed. Maybe there's anger. Maybe there's elation. Maybe there's depression. You'll see if someone drinks enough, right? They can't hardly make decisions, any sort of sound decision. And it radically alters things in a negative way. You say, well, Pastor, then is it negative to be filled with the Holy Spirit? No, the point is this. The Holy Spirit will change your life. The Holy Spirit will really create in you a new creature. You'll be different. You won't be the same William Teasdale that you always have been. You won't be the same Timothy Teasdale that you've always been. The Holy Spirit produces a change in behavior. What do you see in the book of Acts? You see timid, backwards, ignorant fishermen become flaming evangelists of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because of the power of the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 5, look if you would at verse 15. Paul gives some very practical things that are related to the filling of the Spirit. In verse 15, he says, "See then that you walk what? Circumspectly." "Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." You will have wisdom to live in this evil age. You'll know what decisions, the right decisions to make. Number two, you'll understand the will of God. "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Verse number 19, you will have a joyful heart filled with singing to the Lord, right? Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Verse number 20, you will have a heart filled with thanksgiving, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then verse 21, there will be an attitude of mutual submission. Well, that's a tough one. You want to know if you're filled with the Spirit? How able are you to submit? Right? To be meek, to be humble. True submission really is vitally important because it touches on our need to be in control of every situation. I preached this morning about being filled with the knowledge of His will. What does that mean? I'm overflowed with the knowledge of His will. It's not about me. I'm not simply seeking a data point to make a decision about what I'm going to do. I'm simply seeking what God wants to do, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm submitted to His will. When we submit from the heart, what we're saying is I don't have to have it my way all the time. In fact, I don't want it to be my way. I want it to be God's way. I want God's will to be done. And the only way that you're going to maintain these type of attitudes is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. All right? Number two, it's not only a contrast, but you see a command. The command, there's an imperative here. And be not drunk with wine. So number one, you know, people say, well, Pastor, I can drink a little. My friends, drunkenness is not defined by this world. You say, as long as I'm not 0.08. Anything that brings you under control, even a little bit, is drunkenness. It's just whatever degree you're drunk to. All right? A little buzz, that's drunkenness. Now, you're told not to be drunk with wine. Wherein is excess, right? Why would you even go there? Well, I can control it. You're ignorant. I've met many, many men. Went to the Pacific Garden Mission. I've worked at the mission downtown or down here. Many, many men. And guess what? They all started as drunkards with one drink. You're a fool. Number two, the second imperative found in verse 18, be what? Filled with the Spirit. If we'd be more focused about being filled with the Spirit than all the other accoutrements of the world, we'd be in good shape. This is a non-optional part of the Christian life. You don't get to make a choice. Well, you know, I'm just not filled with the Spirit right now. That ought to break your heart, and you ought to be on your knees repenting. God, I need to be filled. And we'll talk about what being filled means here in a moment. If you're not filled with the Spirit, you're out of God's will. Number three, it is in the present tense. It's this idea of constant filling. It's not a one-time past activity. You ever, I tell my kids sometimes, go and do something, maybe go rake the leaves, maybe go clean up the yard, go pick up poop. You got dogs, you got poop. I go out there and I say, why didn't you pick it all up? And what I'm going to say to them is, you know, they say, well, you didn't tell me to go pick up the poop over here. My response to them is going to be what? I want you to go back outside and pick and keep on picking it up. Right? Till they're all picked up. Amen, David? That's the present tense. You keep on doing something. It's not a one-time event. You continually ought to be filled with the Spirit. We need to be filled again and again. You could think of this verse this way, being continually filled with the Spirit. Some have put it as being constantly controlled by the Spirit. One said it this way, being kept filled with the Spirit. The filling of the Spirit is to be a normal Christian activity, a normal way of Christian living. Next, it's passive. Do you know the difference between active and passive voice? Active is I'm doing something. Passive is something's being done to me. Right? Right? Elizabeth jumped over the moon. Right? That's Elizabeth doing something. Right? But if something's done to Elizabeth, that's passive. Look at this verse and tell me the command to be filled, is it active or passive? It's passive. Are you doing the filling? God does the filling. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. That's the key to everything. He doesn't say, fill yourself with the Spirit. No, be filled with the Spirit. And to be filled with the Spirit means that that filling is a work of God and not of man. There's two things I'd like you to think about from this truth. Number one, the Holy Spirit is ready and willing to fill us at any time. If He commands us to be filled, then guess what? We can be filled at any moment and at any time. So then what's the problem? Well, we have to make ourselves available to Him. Are you fillable? Up here. Are you fillable? You ever go to the gas station in Oregon and tell the guy, because they pump your gas there, fill it up. Right? Fill it up. What is it? That guy knows what? He knows two things. Number one, he knows that it's empty. Right? Otherwise, you wouldn't be asking him to fill it up. Number two, the guy pumping the gas knows that you want it to be filled with gas. You're not asking for a portion. You're not asking for some. You're asking for as much as will fit in that tank. Fill it up. Its need to be fillable is to have need plus desire. If I just drove up to the gas station and said, I'm empty, the guy would look at me and say, well, what do you want from me? I have to have a desire for him to put gas in my tank. I know I'm maybe quibbling, maybe I'm splitting a hair here, Timothy. But there has to be an understanding that there is a need and then a desire for that need to be met. When your need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and you have that need, whether you realize it or not, is met with great desire, you will be filled. If it becomes the thing that you seek, that you desire more than anything else, God will fill you. Again, over and over, every time. It's a constant activity. Some people think, well, I went to church and I got popped on the forehead and they said I got filled with the Holy Ghost because I spoke in tongues. That's not, it's a constant filling. It's a constant filling. Number five, it's plural. He's not just saying it to one, but rather he's saying it to the group, right? This whole thing is to the group. Verse 17, and be ye. The word ye is a plural of you, or you all. Let all of you. Let what be ye not under one wise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit, right? He's talking, speaking to you yourselves. Here he is speaking to the church. Each and every person needs to be filled by the Holy Spirit. Every Christian, and God intends and desires that all His children be filled with the Holy Spirit. The church, as a church, is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. To be filled with the Holy Spirit is not simply for your personal edification. God gives His imparts His life-giving Spirit, His life-giving power, and it transforms a church from a social club, from a religious gathering, to the living body of Christ. That's what we need. You can't fill yourself with the Holy Spirit. What's interesting is verse 19, we're to speak to yourselves. Again, it's not singular. This is not singing to yourself. He's speaking to a group. He's saying, as a group, you ought to be singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Are you hearing me? You know, we think, well, that's just for us, you know, for me. And certainly, in your own personal walk, you ought to have some good, godly, edifying music. You say, well, Pastor, I listen to the Christian radio station. I challenge you next time, just roll your window down, crank that up, and ask some lost person walking down the street if that's rock music. If it is, if they say it is, think about that for a moment. Come up from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. That's why you won't ever hear it in this church. Not a bit of it. We've had them send us some CDs with a little bit of that. And we have to be careful. We are surrounded by music. But we're, as you're filled with the Holy Spirit, we see that we are to speak to ourselves, to one another in psalms and hymns. We're to what? Look at verse number 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. I'm to be filled with the Spirit, but I'm not to be filled alone. May the Holy Spirit fill us one by one. It'll transform our church. That's the factor. That makes the difference between a dead church and a living church. You say, oh, Pastor, the living church got it going on, man. They got... Woo! That's a living... No. A living church is a church full of Christians who are filled with the Holy Spirit, who are led by the Holy Spirit, who are controlled by the Holy Spirit, who are dominated by the Holy Spirit. And guess what? The Spirit gives life. The Spirit gives life. The dead bones, they had life breath breathed into them through the breath of God. Many churches look the same. But one is alive, one is dead. What makes the difference? The Holy Spirit. We need the filling of the Holy Spirit, not just for ourselves, but for the reformation, for the revival of our church. So how do you apply this, Pastor, if all these things are true about verse 18? Number one, there's an issue of control. I want to give you what I've come to as my definition of being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's what happens when the Holy Spirit has a controlling interest in your life. Go back to the contrast between drinking wine and being filled with the Spirit. They have one thing in common. They are both controlled. They are under an outside influence. From within, even though. That's what's interesting. Their lives, their behavior is radically changed by that which fills them. If a man is filled with anger, then anger controls his life. If a man is filled with greed, then greed controls his life. If a man is filled with love, then love influences all that he does. What fills you? What controls you? Now the Holy Spirit, He's not just going to camp and take control just because He wants to. You have to give Him your consent. Now, I want to make a very critical distinction. Being filled with the Holy Spirit doesn't mean that you have more of Him. When you got saved, He came and indwelt you. He's a He. He's a person. It's not an it. It's not like you got half of Him. You got all of Him. He lives inside of you. Now, what it means is that you don't have more of Him, is that He has more of you. Do you get that distinction? It's not that you have more of Him. He has more of you. You say, well, Pastor, does it just happen? Do you get drunk instantly? No, it takes, right, over time. There's a process of sanctification. Being filled with the Spirit happens as you continually choose to live under His influence. Listen to me now. You say, well, Pastor, man, I want to be filled with the Spirit. And you start off tomorrow. You start off with your walk with God and say, Holy Spirit, I want You to control me. I want to walk according to the will of God. And let's say you do real good tomorrow, but for the next 5 days, you just live for your own self. How much does He have of you? It's a choice made every day. I want Him to control. I've been... listening to a book on tape, I found that to be an easier way for me to get good Christian books. It's by an author by the name of Andrew Murray. He's an old-time author, old-time preacher. And he wrote on humility. And I'm going to preach a whole series. I'm just convinced that we need this. I need it. How often do you hear messages on humility? Well, we need it. I need it. Man, I was so convicted. Well, you know what humility is? Even in our holiness, we have pride. Humility is saying, I'm nothing. He is everything. Right? When you prefer one another. Because when you see yourself as nothing, you're lower than low. It doesn't matter what someone says to you, because I'm nothing. What does it matter? Look at Jesus. Come, learn of me. Learn what? What did He say to learn? Meek and lowly of heart. Isn't that interesting that what He wanted the disciples to learn from Him is that attitude of meekness and lowliness of heart? You want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Stop thinking so much of yourself. If you'd lived according to your own way, you'd be on your way to hell. Jesus saved you despite yourself. He took pity on you. And to be filled with the Holy Spirit Get out of your own way. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. If you feel sorry for yourself, it's a form of pride because you think you deserve more than you got. When you realize what you deserve, and the only thing you deserve is hell. If someone does you wrong, you say, guess what? The only thing I really deserve is hell, so guess what? It isn't as bad as that. Well, I didn't have this, and I don't have that, and things are tough, and you know, I'm lonely, and things are, you know, people treat me bad, and that's pride. Humility says, I'm nothing. I'm nothing. I deserve hell. And if I'm treated as the lowest of the low, then I'm getting what I deserve. God, you're everything. As we sang this morning, channels only. Make me a channel. The only redeeming part of me is what God can do through me. That's the only thing of value, as I am used by God. You kids hearing me? Right? You're all aggrieved, all bitter, all resentful at your siblings, at your parents. It's pride. Being filled with the Holy Spirit requires you to be humble and say, I have no idea what I'm doing. I need you, God. Number two, it's not only the idea of control, it's the idea of cooperation. I believe that every new Christian, every Christian is filled with the Spirit from the moment of the new birth. Isn't it interesting that as new Christians are birthed into the family of God, they have a zeal and excitement. And why is that? Because I believe that filling is, it's new. It's only after they've been saved a while and their old flesh, right, they start walking in the old ways that they lose the control of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because when you're newly saved, it's the natural thing to do. You remember what it was like before you were saved and how mess of a life, how big of a mess you made of your life. So really, this one of the other issues is that of cooperation. And really the question is, am I going to cooperate with the Holy Spirit and let Him lead me? Or am I going to keep trying to do things my own way? We are very much at times like little children. No! In our heart. God says, I want you. No! I preached this morning about being filled with the knowledge of His will, and that comes through God is, you want to know God's will, He's never going to show it to you. I'm going to repeat this again because I think you need to hear it. He's never going to show it to you if you're simply just using it as a data point to make a decision whether you're going to do it or not. God is never going to say, here is my will, if He knows, and He knows your heart and mind, if He knows that really what you're doing is going to make a decision. What He wants from you is, God, I will do your will no matter what. Just show it to me. With that kind of hard attitude, God says, I'll show you because I know you'll do it. It's not wasted on you. Again, and if you're not doing the little things, if you're not out witnessing, if you're not out, if you're not reading your Bible and praying, and if you're not faithful to the house of God, and if you're not doing what you ought to do with your money, which is supporting this church, supporting the work of our ministries, our missionaries, if you're not giving, you say, well, I don't understand why God won't show me His will. It's because you're not doing His revealed will. You want your own way. I want my own way. That rebelliousness of our heart comes out and we struggle at this point. We fight God because we want to do things our way. And God says, okay, I'll let you do it your way for a while. Let's see how that works out. Doesn't He? We won't cooperate with Him. He'll cooperate with us though, won't He? He said, okay. He didn't have to. God could just say, no, I'm sovereign. You're going to do it exactly as I tell you to do it. And then He lets us fail. Let's just learn that we need to cry out. And He says, well, are you willing to do what I said now? Don't think just because God's letting you do your own thing that God's okay with it. God's just letting you go until you fall flat on your face and you realize that, you know what, the only way to go is God's way. You young people, listen to me. You might go and do what you want to do, and maybe God's working on your heart to do something greater, maybe to even go into ministry. God will let you go and live your own way and do your own thing, but at some point you're going to hit a brick wall. The chastening hand of God, because of His love for you, will come and you'll realize what a mess I've made. And what I'm saying to you now, just surrender yourself to God. Cooperate with Him. Thirdly, it's the issue of contact. One preacher explained the Spirit's filling this way. He said that most people think of the Spirit as a substance to fill us, like gas filling a tank. We run out of the Spirit like we're, woo, you know. And then we get, oh man, I got to go to the spiritual filling station. Get a little more of that Holy Spirit. It's not really what it is. It's not the best image. Y'all been downtown Seattle? A lot of electrified buses, catenary wires, right? What does the bus have to do? I was behind one the other day, and they've got that thing, that spring-loaded assembly that presses up against that wire. What does it do? It provides electricity to run that bus. Well, as it's going around a curve, it must have went too sharp because that assembly popped off. That bus was going nowhere. It had to remain in contact with that wire to move. And unless it stayed in contact with that wire, it was going nowhere. That catenary wire, that's like the Holy Spirit. His power is always available. There's never a power shortage. There's never a brownout. Sometimes we lose contact with Him. When that happens, our lives simply stop working the way God wants them to. Generally, we lose contact when we decide our way is better than God's way. Right? Pride takes over. Isn't it so proud? How proud do you have to be to say, I know more than God? I mean, I'm saying that to myself tonight. How proud is that? Right? One preacher called it pride is the poison pill of hell. How was Eve taken advantage of by Satan? Satan appealed to her what? Pride. Why was Satan thrown out of heaven? Pride. It's a poison pill, man. It affects everything it touches. His power is always available. So think about it. It's an issue of control. Who's in control? It's an issue of cooperation, right? Is it His way or my way? It's an issue of contact. I got to stay in contact with Him. I got to stay close. I can't give away. He's the power that runs this. He makes it happen. Well, the last thought is this. Think of the filling of the Holy Spirit as a state in which the Holy Spirit is free to do all that He came into my life to do. The filling of the Holy Spirit is not primarily an emotional experience. It is certainly not reserved for super Christians or the few. You are commanded by God to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You say, well, Pastor, I don't even know. Then you best find out. Best figure it out. You best seek God. God, I need to be filled with Your Spirit. You said, I need to be filled with Your Spirit. I need to be filled with Your Spirit. It's amazing how we'll sit there and say, oh, I just don't know what to do. Like, you know, old boy needs to find a job and he just sits at home thinking a job's going to fly through the window. Dig. Learn. Be curious. Get into the Word. Talk to me, talk to other Christians, say, man, what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? And don't just be academic about it. Do it! Do it! It's nothing more than normal Christian living. fleshly living has become the norm. And so we see that as, and then if someone really gets filled with the Spirit, they're the oddball. Crazy. And why we see this command in the present tense, continually be filled, we are continually be controlled by the Spirit, cooperating with the Spirit, in contact with the Spirit. And this is then God's moment by moment provision for vitality, strength, courage, boldness, victory, and the abundant life. It's for you, it's a command, and it's God's plan for your life. It's not mystical. Okay? Be careful, even Finney, be careful. He treats it sort of mystic, like it's an event. You can be filled with God's Spirit tonight and tomorrow and Tuesday. It's called having a walk with God. Get out of the way. Say, God, I'm a nothing. That's why the Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law. Nothing shall offend them. Why? Because I know what your word says about me. I know how much I need you. God, I need you. I can't do it without you. I remember the first time I came to that realization, it was me and Brother Jack Lamb, and it was after a service at Fairhaven, and we went, and we were just so, it was so weighed on us to pray that the Holy Spirit would fill us. And I remember we prayed, went to the library, the old library, we went and we sat and we got back. No one was in there. It was after a service. And we knelt and we prayed. We asked God to fill us. And I remember stepping up, and the first thought came to my mind is, I can't take the next step without knowing what the Holy Spirit wants me to do. I want to know. I need Him. And every day it ought to be this constant thought, I need Him. I need thee every hour. Every hour I need thee. So let me finish with this thought. God is ready, willing, and able to fill you right now. He's more willing to fill you than you are to be filled. Are you fillable? You say, well, Pastor, I don't think I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, that's not because God's reluctant to. You don't even have to beg Him to do what He's promised to do. Rather, He is begging you, please get out of the way so I can do what I want to do. I've seen men give illustrations of a jar full of a substance you can't, and then try to fill it with something else. You can't fill what's already full. Imagine, if you would, or even an empty jar with a lid screwed on tight. You can't fill that jar either. Some Christians are so full of themselves. Your kids hearing your dad? So full of yourself. And what you think is right and how smart you are. Right? Are you hearing me? You hearing me? Yes or no? What God wants to say, stop being so full of yourself. In fact, stop being full of you at all. Let me fill you. Some Christians just simply close their heart to the work of the Holy Spirit. Oh, what a dangerous place to be. In one sense, being filled with the Spirit is an impossibility. You say, Pastor, I don't know how I can get out of the way. But only God's Spirit can fill us. You know, the only thing you need is you need emptiness and openness. Okay, God, it's not about what I want anymore. And I'm open. Now, most people really don't pray that sincerely because they're scared of what will happen. They want to be in control. Okay, God, I don't want to be in control anymore. Lord, I'm empty. I need to be filled. Lord, I'm open. Let your Spirit fill me. And it's really as simple as that. It really is. There's no mystical. It's supernatural, but it's not mystical. It's not an unknowable, right, thing. As long as we're conscious of our need, as long as we are willing to yield to the Lord, we can be filled with the Spirit, because guess what? The power is always available. Now, God doesn't give us His Holy Spirit simply for our own personal enjoyment or edification. God sends His Spirit to enable us to live for Christ in this world. If you're simply seeking the Holy Spirit so you can, feel better about yourself, you're not going to have it. If your heart is, God, I want to be a light for you, and Lord, the only way I know how to do that is with your help of your Spirit. The only way I know how to walk with you in this world is with your Spirit. More than once, people have said, and even in recent days, we need revival in America. And yes, we do. Our nation will be better when our churches are better. Our churches will be better when we are better people. We'll be better people when we are filled with the Holy Spirit. I would simply pray tonight, oh, God, I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I might live a life pleasing to you. I want my life to bring glory to your Son, Jesus Christ. I'm empty. I need to be filled. Thank you for forgiving me, for forgiving my sin through the death of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for sending your Spirit to indwell me. See, Pastor, that's all it takes. Get out of the way. Be open. Be empty. Be filled today, and then tomorrow get up, pray the same prayer, have the same attitude, seek the same thing. Fill me today. And then get up on Tuesday, if He gives us Tuesday, and pray the same thing and have the same heart attitude and desire. God, I want to live for you in this world. That's why I want your Spirit. God says, I can answer that prayer. In fact, you don't even have to beg me. Just ask. Then on Wednesday, are you getting me? Are you getting the pattern? And let's say on Thursday you don't. You do your own thing. Get on your face before God and repent and say, God, how foolish of me, how proud of me to think that I could do my own thing and live my own way. And what a mess I made of today. Fill me, Lord. I'm empty. I can't do it. I'm without you, I'm ignorant. Without you and helpless. The only thing redeemable about me is you using me. That's the only good that there is in me. Empower me, Lord, that I can be salt and light in this world. I pray this in faith, believing what your word has said. I want to obey. Fill me. Let's pray. We're not going to have a piano to play tonight, but I'd like to take a few moments and now allow you an opportunity to respond to the Lord. Right there at your seat. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. How full of yourself have you been? You're going around complaining. That's just pride. Because you're not getting your way. Realize, you know what? If you just come to the place you say, I'm a nothing, the only thing redeemable about me is what God can do through me. The past is the past. The present is the present. God, fill me today so I can live for you in this world, so I can win people to Jesus. Let's take a few moments of silence and then we'll pray together. Our Heavenly Father, it's a wonderful truth to know. It's a wonderful thing to know that we're saved. And to know all that we have through Jesus Christ. To have the Spirit of God indwelling in us. Available to empower us, Lord, if we'll simply be empty and open. If we'll recognize the need and have the desire. We don't even have to beg you. We just need to get out of the way. Lord, many of us have accepted and swallowed the poison pill of pride. And we've learned the right things to say, and we've learned the Christians speak. But in our hearts, we're stubborn and hard-hearted. And it's about getting my way, fulfilling my needs, rather than just being an empty channel and vessel to be filled with your power. I pray as we leave here tonight, that our hearts would be challenged. Lord, we'd not walk out of here and then just simply set behind us and put behind us this thought, but realize that if we're not filled with your Holy Spirit, then we are in disobedience to your will. Help Faith Baptist Church to be full of Christians who are filled with the Spirit of God. Not for any pride or worldly recognition, but to simply be in obedience to you, our Lord and Savior. Bless us now, I pray, as we go our separate ways. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Wednesday night prayer meeting, 7 o'clock. I hope you'll be here. We're spending about 25 minutes, and then we're praying together in small groups. It's been a blessing. And then, of course, we'll have some outreach things being announced here in the next few weeks, in addition to some Bible clubs and other things that we plan to do. Lord bless you. We'll see you.